This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, 877-881-1053 if you want to get involved in the conversation on the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorney text line. You can also hit us up on Twitch, on YouTube. We're going to go to baseball here. And again, kind of expanding on the most heartwarming story maybe you've heard in a long time, but certainly of spring training. So we talked about this when we were at spring training, the blanket that was there for Jake Berger's daughter, Penelope.
Yeah, and as of yesterday, we were like, man, did not ask who came up with the idea and all those things. And we were like, oh, man, there's a lot more to this story.
And I need to look more into this because I want to know more about the cause and effect. But their daughter, Penelope, she's 4 months old. She has Down syndrome, and she had to get an open heart procedure. And there's an article in the Dallas Morning News that made note, it's fairly common for children born with Down syndrome to need open heart surgery.
Adrian said absolutely yesterday whenever I was reading
this. I had no idea.
Yeah, Adrian was like, what she does with my possibilities, she was like, we need to reach out and see what we can do there. But yeah, she said that that is definitely the case. I didn't know either. But, you know, having people in our world that know stuff like that, good to have around.
Yeah, and so, first of all, that's just heartwarming that the Rangers would want to do this. Jake Berger himself yesterday said, I didn't really know these guys until February 15th, and it was overwhelming in a really positive way. It made me really feel like part of the group. So what the Rangers did was they had this special blanket made up for Penelope, and they had all of the players sign it, all the hitters sign it. And the thing that we talked about, because we got to see several of the players sign it in the clubhouse, they were giving you the good signature.
Yeah, they were.
Like the big.
They're trying hard.
Yeah, this is the best signature I've got. And then in the Dallas Morning News article, they got a picture from the Berger family of the blanket hanging over Penelope's crib. And it was really heartwarming.
Yes, it is.
And everything like that. And Josh Young stood up in the hitters meeting, gave the gift to Berger. And you could tell, like, all people involved were emotionally affected by this. And you sent me the story, Corey, because I was really fascinated by this aspect of it. Offensive coordinator Donnie Ecker, who put together the blanket drive, saw an opportunity to. He saw the opportunity to reinforce the idea that he had gone through in the first hitters meeting. The offense functions better as a unit than it does as a set of individuals. And that makes sense when I hear it or when I read it, but I very rarely think about the offense as like a unit. And I'm like, man, this part of the offense looks really good, blah, blah, blah.
And we've talked to different managers, different coaches about the style. And, you know, when Mike and I've discussed this at a high school level, when you were growing up, the idea on a lineup was your leadoff hitter needs to be fast. needs to get on base and be able to steal bases, get to second base, and now your second hitter is either going to get walked or he's driving the other guy over. And then the third hitter should drive in two runs at least, unless he hits a home run. Like, that was always kind of the idea. But think about what I just said there. All three of those guys are relying on each other in order to get three runs in. And so when you go up to the plate and you're like, I'm about to hit a solo home run, that's not necessarily what's best for the group and best for the team. I need to get on base right now because I know Adolis is behind me. You know, like those are the ways that he wants them to think, in that we're trying to string together seven or eight hits in this inning that are going to put maybe three to four runs on the board. Hopefully more. Hopefully we have a huge 23-run inning like that one college team did.
That was a record.
Like, that's what you're hoping that these guys, with their approach, just like Marcus Semien told us, look, I'm going up there hunting fastball, and if I see my pitch, I'm driving it, no matter when it is in the pitch count. But you're hoping the rest of the guys in the lineup are going up to the plate, knowing what the situation is, supportive of each other, coming back with information from the batter's box about what they just saw from the other pitcher and saying, hey, dude, by the way, third pitch is going to be his changeup and it's moving out this. You want that kind of communication amongst your guys, because if they're just thinking about their stats and padding them, it's not going to be a useful product.
So what I keep thinking about for Jake Berger, first of all, I can't even fathom how difficult that is. And I, by the way, I have seen from the 817, my brother has Down syndrome. He was born with three holes in his heart. I appreciate people who are sharing like their personal stories. I think that's really incredible and really brave of you. I have a nephew with Down syndrome from the 817. They're typically born with holes in their hearts that require surgery. He is having his second open heart surgery this month. Our heart and my prayers go out to you guys. Again, I can't even imagine the mental part of going through that.
Did you see the rest of that text?
Oh, no.
He was born the night the Rangers won the World Series, 2 a.m. the next day.
Wow.
That's all. Well, we're up here celebrating and everything.
So the Rangers...
You got a World Series celebration.
You got a World Series
baby.
We're going to take care of that.
Love
baby.
It.
And just... I wonder about like Jake Berger's mindset of, I'll do anything for these guys in this team now. Like, maybe that's too simplistic and he's like, hey, I just got here, I'm still worried about my family and everything. But to be welcomed in like that, I imagine that's got to really kind of galvanize your clubhouse and bring everybody together.
Well, I mean, when you kind of have that environment in the clubhouse where it seems like the doors are open for guys, then it doesn't create I got to go in there and just keep my head down and avoid everything. It seems like they're like, come in here and show us your personality. We want to know who you are because we want to know how you're going to fit in with this thing. And Jake seems to be the kind of guy from what we're hearing that he comes in. He what did Bochy say? He was like, he's just like Josh Jung. He's a Wash used to use the term dirt bag, and everybody was like, what? And he's like, no, man, that's like
a
dirt bag.
In a good way.
It's a good thing. They just want to be on the baseball field. And the faster you find out about somebody and find out about what they are, the faster you know how they fit into the thing and what y'all are trying to do together. So that, like, I think, and it sounds like from this article, Josh Jung's at the forefront of that and in the inviting everybody in part and being a leader. For me, Kevin, though, and I don't know if we wanted to dive into this.
Yeah, go for it.
It's interesting because Josh Jung hasn't played a lot.
Right.
He did win a World Series with this team.
Yes, he did.
And he is a young feature on this team that's going to be around for a while, as long as that contract that is going to be on its way pretty soon. And I think Boris is his agent. But
you just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's interesting that as young as he is, he already has that valuable of a leadership role in this clubhouse. And it's because a guy like Corey Seager doesn't have an interest in being a leader. He's like, I'll be on the team, and I'm gonna be my Evan Grant said in the story, his own personal excellence.
Yeah,
you know, I've got that, and it's going to help this team. Guess what, guys? Whenever we're in the World Series, I'm gonna deliver, and we're gonna celebrate and party. But I don't have an interest in 162 games being the guy that's rallying everybody every single night. I just want to go do my job, and that's fine. You know, that being said. We did hear in the offseason that he's learned Spanish so that he can communicate with the Latin players better. And they love it.
I mean,
so that's awesome to hear from Seager.
And how could you not, right? Like the guy who's the best player on your team is actively trying to make a better effort mm-hmm. or even make an effort.
To communicate.
Yeah, to communicate, to understand, to get along, to bond, like all those different things. And so, and I know it works both ways. I know there are plenty of Latin players that have vastly accelerated their English abilities to like do the same thing. So yeah. I think it's really cool that you have both parts of the locker room that are like, hey, I want to learn for my teammates. Hey, I want to learn for my teammates. You know, yeah. Like I think that's really cool.
It is the idea of when your boss does the most menial work that they could possibly do that you hate doing and they're doing it. You're like, well, crap, he's doing that. I guess I have to too. You know, like Simeon in my mind is like Michael Young. He doesn't have to talk. He just goes out there and does his thing. And he is the perfect example of what you should do if you want to have a long pro career. You got to go to work like this every day and be ready for this kind of mindset. And then we've heard about Evaldi.
Yeah.
In Evaldi's approach, he's buying rookies Rolexes. He's doing all these things to create this environment. But as Evan Grant points out, Evaldi's role, because he's a pitcher, sometimes might not carry weight with everybody else. Josh Young, however, wants it. You saw it last year during the season when he wasn't around the team the right way. There's no Bash Brothers with him and Adolis.
Right.
You know, that's missing from the club. So I love seeing that he's at the forefront of this. I'm kind of curious how that worked, though, because, again, not around a lot. But I guess his personality is just that kind of personality in the clubhouse for them.
Will you allow a shout out for one of the kiddos that's had surgery?
Yes.
All right. So shout out to Smith. That is this person's nephew's name. Hope everything goes well with the surgery. And from the 214, any support for a parent with special needs means so much. It's such a difficult thing. So kudos to the Rangers. And it was great the way they set it up. Because they set it up specifically when they knew Berger wasn't going to be back to the clubhouse yet. And they got everybody involved. And again, I can't tell you how like oddly gratifying it was to see each player would kind of step up to the blanket and they would kind of like sometimes deep breath it. And like,
yeah.
And then hold that blanket as tight as conceivably possible. So you can get like the best possible signature on there, knowing that like, that's not necessarily the most meaningful part, but they're like, this is my part that I can do. And I want to give little Penelope like the coolest signature. And I think that's really neat. Whether or not that ends up making a difference, you know, in game one, game 81 or game 162, don't know, but I think it's cool. Now, I'm not going to steal Gavin Dawson's specific saying, but we do have...
See you later.
Oh. But we have...
See me, beer me.
A little bit of time on the clock. And I feel like I have some information about soccer.
We need to wait like another 2.5 minutes.
Oh,
though.
You can.
Otherwise, it's 2.5 minutes on soccer. And
okay,
that didn't rhyme. That didn't, that's
I'm
not a good alliteration.
Try to give you 59 seconds on soccer because I don't want to rip off okay. Gavin Dawson all the way.
59 seconds on soccer.
Just most of the way.
We also used to have a segment called 2 minutes in yoga pants. That was a nighttime segment. It was awesome.
I missed that.
We just talked about people we saw in yoga pants that day.
So yesterday, we told you that the Communication Center for the 2026 World Cup would be here in the Metroplex, essentially the radio row for the World Cup. But I want to take it one step further. The United States and Mexico are now heavy favorites to co-host the 2031 Women's World Cup. Now, we got a little bit jobbed on the 2026 World Cup and didn't get the final. Now's the time to make it right. 2031 World Cup final at AT&T Stadium. And as much as I would love for the men's team to be there for the semifinals in this next World Cup, I feel infinitely more confident that the women's team could be there at the end for their World Cup. So make it happen, FIFA. 2031 Women's World Cup co-hosted by the United States and Mexico with the final at AT&T Stadium, and the United States wins it all so we can finally have a championship in that building.
And on this soil.
It feels like we have, that's true.
I mean, I guess we did win, you know.
What was the end of that
soil.
Sentence?
Our freedom.
Oh,
whenever we fought the British.
That's a good point.
We won on our soil. I have a question, and I feel like it's going to set the fan text on fire.
Oh, dear.
Soccerers. Why do we stink so much in international play? Why can't we win?
For the
we,
men.
Yeah, for the men. Women are fantastic. The
you
men
know
stink.
How women are.
Yeah.
Okay, well, PJ Washington, they're awesome.
They're,
you're right.
Great at soccer. But why are we not good? Like, I there's a lot of different reasons. I feel like it's first, it starts with political. Like, and I'm not talking about, like, politics, political, like Nancy Pelosi type stuff. I'm talking about like the politics of the soccer, United States soccer. There's
okay.
politics within it. I know that's a big reason, but why do we stink? Are we not? Do we just not have talent? What is it that we? Why can't we sometimes not even make the World Cup? Like, that's happened before. The only reason we're hosting it is so that we could be in the World
Look,
Cup.
There is a tiny part of me that thought about that.
They were
like, well, we're in this.
The United States, y'all still kind of believe in all this stuff, and y'all are making money for us, so we kind of need you in this thing. Y'all got a lot of people. Why do we 877-881-1053. If you know soccer, tell me, why do we stink in international play?
Okay. And
thank you.
If you're in the General Euless area, you can make your way to Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers off of State 121 and ask Gavin Dawson, why do we stink at soccer?
Yes.
While also buying one cheeseburger and getting the second one for free.
What a day.
Just saying, trying to help out.
Cheeseburgers are amazing.